You know, I saw that live because of fantasy football, and which is detrimental to my health, and I'm back in, and I stayed up and watched that entire game. You want to know why? Because I had Terry McLaurin and Jaden Daniels,
so you won.
I needed that,
and I stayed up,
and I paid off.
Right.
That was amazing.
But watching that last touchdown pass where he stands in the face of a blitz coming off the corner, he knew it was coming. He knew exactly where he was going. And he stood in there, and he took a shot right to the chest as he was throwing the ball, and that my friends takes stones, and that's really what it's all about playing quarterback in the NFL is when you can make a play when the game is on the line and you have this blitz coming to at you unblocked and you see it coming and you know it's coming and you still are able to throw the ball accurately right on the money to Terry McLaurin. So his game last night was one for the ages. It's one of the greatest, if not the greatest, single rookie quarterback game of all time, given that he was 21 of 23. And by the way, Joe Burrow wasn't bad either. Neither one of these defenses are very good. Neither one of these defenses could stop the opposing team's run or wide receivers. So the Bengals are in a whole heap of trouble, as are the Jaguars. They're both 0-3. And Buffalo is rolling, and you're right. Josh Allen is playing great. What he's not doing right now at this moment in the season.
He's not turning it over.
He's not forcing the issue. He's just making plays. He's comfortable. He's seeing the field. I mean, like, the Jaguars just got steamrolled last night. I didn't really watch much of the second half of that game because I was locked in on the Bengal game. But all I can tell is you're right. I think if you are a Jet fan and a Giant fan and you see these two quarterbacks play, and especially Jaden Daniels, because you're going to see him for another 10 years.
Yeah, and I've watched basically every snap of Jaden Daniels this year because I took a risk on him and drafting him in a fantasy league, and I wanted to see how he was doing. So first week I came in here, I said it was a weird debut. I wasn't sure what to make of it. You could see the athleticism. He seemed very calm, but just out of control. And then he got a little bit better, obviously, in the win against the Giants, but they didn't score any touchdowns, so it was still not quite there. And he wasn't getting the ball to Terry McLaurin, and that was a big talking point going into the game last night. And you heard the guy say it on the broadcast many times, and Cliff Kingsbury and Dan Quinn, Terry McLaurin, and he's not bitching and moaning because he's not a prima donna. And then, bang, it was at first pass, 55 yards right down to the goal line where he hit Terry McLaurin. And that, I felt like, opened up everything for Jaden Daniels because that was the one thing he hadn't done yet. Was get the ball down the field to his number one wide receiver. And then you saw it later in the game with that touchdown pass to him in the corner of the end zone. And his arm and the velocity on these throws, and now he's getting a little bit more accurate and getting comfortable in the pocket and not getting scared and running every time. I mean, it's a dangerous combination,
man. He got hit a lot last night, too, by the way. It wasn't like he didn't get hit. He got hit a lot, and the pass to me that really solidified, because you sit there and you wait, it's a rookie, and you're like, okay, is he gonna make a mistake here? It was the 4th and 4 where he hit Zach Ertz over the middle, and they had a lead. They didn't have to do that. They could have attempted a field goal probably outside of the range of Seibert, as Troy and Joe were talking about, or they could have punted and played defense, and I think that's the last thing that Dan Quinn wanted to do is play defense in a situation where the game was on the line because I think he probably felt that Joe Burrow would have brought his team down and scored the game-winning touchdown themselves. So what does he do? He says, okay, we're going for it. And there was no hesitation. Now, they ended up calling timeout because they had a mess at the end of the – they didn't know who was going to be on the field, and it seemed like there was all sorts of miscommunication on the sideline. But when they came back on the field, and he hit Zach Ertz over the middle, and I mean, he hit him right in the chest, and Ertz was supposed to be doubled, and Von Bell didn't get there. He got there late. And the pass was perfect. I mean, it was perfect. And you're hoping, you predict. I mean, that's what Caleb Williams is supposed to be looking like.
Yeah.
And Caleb Williams doesn't look anything like that yet. But Jaden Daniels has taken a major step forward. Each week he's gotten a little bit better. And now he got his team in the end zone. And I'll tell you, that's about as impressive as a rookie performance. And I know C.J. Stroud did it through the entire year last year. So I'd like to see that from Jaden, but that game last night was standalone, maybe the greatest single rookie game I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly up there statistically, too, is with the completion percentage. He broke a record for a rookie last 91,
night. 91% completion percentage.
21 out of 23.
It's
and
almost
he's,
like Phil Simms'
Super Bowl. Yeah. I thought the same thing. And he's gotten consistently better every single week. And then that's the thing you want to see. And I also, I was a little worried about him because I didn't like the coaching staff for him coming in. I don't love Dan Quinn as a head coach. And Cliff Kingsbury, to me, is a dangerous type of offensive coordinator that could ruin a young guy. But he is definitely succeeded. So I'll give those guys a little bit more credit than I thought I'd be giving them. But, yeah, that was very, very impressive. And now that's a team that, I mean, you hate to just project forward for a decade, but God, if he could stay healthy and he keeps getting better and he's doing everything the way he did on the road against a desperate Bengals team, I mean, that's another thing you got to factor in here. I mean, I don't think the Bengals are that bad. I mean, the Bengals should have beaten the Chiefs the previous week, and Jaden Daniels went in there in a must-win game for the Bengals and just beat the brakes off them.
You know, we talk about quarterbacks and who they're playing and everything else. So they lost to Jacoby Brissett, and they lost to Jaden Daniels, a rookie and an afterthought, retread, whatever, however, journeyman, whatever you want to call him. And we saw that New England offense up close and personal, and it's bad. It is bad. There are no threats anywhere on the field, and they don't even attempt to throw the ball down the field. And the Bengals lost to that team. They lost a game, Kansas City, where they had the lead if it weren't for a pass interference late in the game. And then last night they get tore up again on defense. So they have major issues. Them and the Jaguars, where I think many people thought were going to be playoff teams, and now they still may be playoff teams. We're not even a quarter of the way through the season yet. But, boy, I'll tell you, their defense is a sieve right now. And I know they have some injuries, but, my God, you had a rookie quarterback come into your building and basically slice and dice you.
Yeah, it was really, really disconcerting. The two performances last night of the Jaguars and the Bengals for different reasons. And both teams were desperate. Both teams coming in 0-2 and needing to play well. And obviously the Bengals a little more concerning because it's at home and, you know, the expectations were higher for them. But for a Super Bowl winning head coach in Doug Peterson to have his team go up to Buffalo in a game where they had to play well at 0-2 to try to save their season and get completely blasted was embarrassing. I mean, Josh Allen was out in the third quarter of that game. They had him out with 3 minutes to go in the third quarter. I mean, the Jaguars pulled their starters, too. I mean, it was, you know, Mac Jones is in there, and Mac Jones gets a sack fumble on his first series. I mean, that's how bad that game got. I was shocked. Not that I thought that the Bills were going to lose to the Jaguars, but for the Jaguars to come in that desperate mode and just keep, I mean, they got steamrolled. That is as bad of a performance as the league has seen this year.
Doug Peterson better do something. He better shake it up down there because that Shad Khan spent a lot of money in the offseason.
Oh, there was a quote that he had, too. I'll find it.
He spent a lot of money. Shad Khan's the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I want to say they spent either the most amount of money in free agency in the offseason or the second most amount. I mean, it was over $250 million, I believe, was committed to players. And to have that happen on national television. Whew.
Yeah, so to that point, last month, Jags owner Shad Khan, this is a quote that Pro Football Talk put out last night. Winning now is the expectation. Make no mistake, this is the best team assembled by the Jacksonville Jaguars ever. Best players, best coaches. But most importantly, let's prove it by winning now.
Yeah.
That's from the owner.
Yeah.
So you can imagine how ugly it's got to feel in that building right now.
Yeah, and it is. It's that team has gotten worse each week.
Yeah, yep.
And you know, at least I can say the Bengals have an offense that they could put up points and they can play with anybody. And, you know, you could see Washington was having problems in the secondary. And that's, again, so the defensive head coach and Dan Quinn played offense in the fourth quarter and didn't want to give the ball back to the Bengals without scoring on that last series. And they went for it on fourth and four. And, you know, you're a genius when it works. If that doesn't work, there's a very good chance Washington's going to lose that game. But the rookie quarterback stood in there with great poise, knew exactly where he was going, and he had Zach Ertz right between the numbers for a first down.
Yeah, he's so calm. He feels like, and they made the point on the broadcast, too, that he's made 55 starts in college. You don't normally see that, and obviously played at a very high level with LSU, and they talked about him replacing Joe Burrow and the pressure that was on him. So he went through a lot in college, and that stuff matters when you're trying, when you're starting in your first year and you're on the road against Cincinnati and that 4th-and-4. He's been in situations like that. And even his first game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, he just seemed calm out there, even though things weren't going particularly well. He seemed calm and in control, and he was supposed to be out on the field as opposed to some of these other rookie quarterbacks that we see that are like, what the hell is going on? There's 55 defenders out there, and I don't know what to do. Jaden Daniels is the opposite of that. Just really impressive stuff. He's just one of those guys, too, that you're just excited to see what he can do. They got the Arizona Cardinals coming up next. It should be another game that he should thrive in. It's indoors on the road. I mean, he's just going to be one of those guys that what Jaden Daniels do today? You know, one of those
things. He is must-see TV right now.
Yeah, I mean, after last night, he certainly is.
I feel like, it's because it's Washington and because they have been so bad for so long and they haven't gotten their act together and they haven't, the last quarterback that they had was probably RG3 for that rookie year. They had Kirk Cousins for a while, but they haven't had really anybody this exciting. I mean, this is why Brian Daboll was talking about him the way he was back in Hard Knocks off season.
Yeah, I mean, the RG3 thing was real there for a minute. I mean, it was that they were very, very excited about him. It's just that it was just so quick with the injuries. But, I mean, it felt similar to this, I think. But, and that's why probably Commanders fans are excited, but also trepidatious because they went through something similar a few years back with RG3.
Yeah, but if this kid, I mean, he's taller, he's bigger, he throws the ball better. I mean, man, if he continues to go on, he's going to have another 21 for 23, I don't know. But if this performance is indicative of a long-term, consistent performance from their quarterback, I mean, it's going to be a long, long time before the Giants are beating them.
Yeah. I mean, he's still exposing himself a little bit too much when he's running the football. He did slide at one point in the third or fourth quarter. It was definitely the second half, and they showed Dan Quinn on the sidelines basically throwing a party because he slid. So, I mean, that's going to be something that you worry about with him is staying healthy. And you said when he had won the Heisman and he showed up at the NFL today, how thin you thought he was, and now he had to put on some weight to be able to take these NFL hits.
You know, last night he still looks thin to me.
But, yeah, it didn't matter.
One thing he's got a howitzer for an arm. That's for sure.
Yep. Yeah, it's just getting the ball down the field, and he did it twice in critical situations to his best wide receiver, who he wasn't getting the ball to in McLaurin. So, I mean, it's like endless possibilities now.
By the way, another,
for that offense.
And another running back goes down. Austin Eckler goes down last night.
Concussion, yeah.
Joe Mixon goes down. Austin Eckler goes down. I mean, like, these guys, it's very rare that they're going to ever make it through the season. So,
well, especially and those guys are on the older side for
Christian
running backs.
Christian McCaffrey's already down. Didn't even start the season. He was hurt.
Right.
I mean, there's a number of running backs that this is why they don't get paid.
Yep, that's right.
They're probably going to give me an honorary degree, I think, because Brandon Tierney wasn't there. I'm like, why isn't he here? Like, you know, you would think that he would be such a, you know, walks around here like the cock at a walk, and he's like, you know,
It's a football Monday, man.
Yeah.
You know, you really can't miss. I'm sure he was invited, but
he
wasn't invited.
No,
oh, okay.
So I got him a nice Marist bag with some Marist stuff in it. I think it's going to be great. Look at that. You think he's going to like that?
Oh, I'm sure he's going to love that. Yeah.
That for Marist for him.
Yeah, he's going to put his man juice in there.
To the president about Brandon. They know, you know, they know all about Brandon. Go put man juice in there. Is that what you said?
That's what he drinks.
Oh, golf balls, Marist golf balls.
Oh, nice. He'll like those.
And that's the pullover.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Ooh.
Does that say Brandon Tierney on it or
oh,
what?
Oh, yes, it does. You can see his pecs popping out of there.
Oh, my God. He's going to be
damn
so
right.
Happy.
Yep.
Yeah, but it was a great day. You know, I actually played Sands Point.
Love Sands
and,
Point.
Man, Sands Point is awesome.
What a wonderful place,
They did
huh?
a great job with that place.
What a wonderful place.
They did some renovations and some modifications, and boy, it's beautiful.
Deep bunkers, hard to get out of.
Yes, they are. Yes, I was in a few yesterday, of course.
Yep.
Yeah, but just wanted to make sure that Brandon knew that I was representing.
Yeah,
Red Foxes, Marist, right?
I don't know, actually.
I'm not really sure.
It is.
No.
Red Fox.
The Red Fox.
Somewhere at East Kazari at his yarn convention is, wakes up in the middle of the night.
The Red Fox.
By the way, where is
Eddie? So, Eddie, Andrew asked me a question. I thought he was at a yarn convention, too, but then he said, isn't this the wolf
No, this is not the excursion. Wolf thing. The wolf excursion is in December
at
Yellowstone. This is a yarn situation.
All right. Got it.
Yeah,
this
in Ohio.
Is a real true yarn in Ohio. In Ohio?
He's supporting his wife.
Great. Where in Ohio?
I don't know. I just know, and I get drips and drabs. Of course, Eddie doesn't tell us. He did tell us about the wolf thing. I'll give him credit. He did not tell us about this specific location.
What would you put in the Google search bar?
Ohio Yarn Convention September?
Or Yarn Expo?
Ohio. Don't you wish sometimes you could just go to, find my friends and just see where Eddie is?
Yeah, I know.
But he would never give us access.
Oh, wait a minute. It's the Wild and Woolly Fiber Expo? Could that be it?
It could be.
No, that's February.
Then probably not since
the
September.
Mid-Ohio Fiber Fair.
No, that's June.
That's June.
Oh, here we go.
The 20th annual wool gathering.
It's
the wool gathering. He's at the wool gathering. Wow, look at all that wool.
Yeah. Wait a second. No, that was this past weekend.
Do you think he's actually shearing some sheep?
I would hope. Come here, Daisy. It won't hurt.
Autumn Fiber Festival. How about that?
Is that this week?
Then give me a date.
There's a lot of fiber festivals, huh?
No, it's October. 19th, yeah, I don't know.
Man, I mean, they have a lot of fiber festivals. Mid Ohio Fiber Fair.
Jesus,
Ohio,
man.
The heart of all. I mean, this is wow. Like,
how much fiber?
Oh, here it is. Heartland Yarn Adventure.
That's this week.
No, it's not. That's July, right? Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, come on. Maybe he's not at a yard.
That's what I thought he was. Fleegs told me. Fleegs, you said fiber or yarn or something.
Yeah, we last discussed this like months ago, but I'm pretty sure he said September was extended trip for something yarn related.
Maybe it's not Ohio.
Or maybe it wrapped up over the weekend and they're staying for a little while.
Could be that. Because that one fiber festival was past weekend.
They have the Wild and Woolly Fiber Expo. They have Yarn Birds. It's a damn truck. I don't know what that is. Yarn Birds.
There was one point where Eddie was sharing his location with all of us for a while, and then I didn't realize it. Tom Izzo realized it, and he knew where Eddie was at all times for about 3 or 4 months.
So let me see this weekend.
But he shut that off on his phone, so unfortunately we don't have access to that anymore.
You can't ping him.
Yeah, can't ping him.
All right, hold on,
Nothing was exciting, by the way. He was either here or at his house or walking his dogs.
I put in this weekend, there are a few yarn-related events in Ohio coming up, including the Yarn Discovery Tour and the Autumn Fiber Festival.
Okay.
All right. So he's at one of those, maybe.
Okay. Yeah, maybe. Well, hopefully they're doing well, whatever that entails. Doing well at a fiber festival or a woolly wool expo.
They're getting fiber and yarn.
All right, Jerry, let's hear about the football from last night.
We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. And we're also brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. So we start with I don't want to call it a shocker, but I don't know how many people thought the Commanders would go into Cincinnati and win, and that's exactly what they did.
Shotgun snap to Daniels, blitzes on, throws an arching spiral pass into the end zone, and it was caught by McLaurin. Was he in the corner? Yes! Yes, he was! Touchdown! In the back corner of the end zone!
I don't know how these guys keep their feet in. Really amazing. That
one knee equals 2 feet.
Crazy. Kevin Harlan, Westwood 1.
Jerry, you know that.
I do, but it's just, I don't know. The fact that they have the
his
awareness.
His other foot didn't.
Fair. But
but one knee equals 2 feet.
He still was in bounds, which is pretty good. 38-33 the final. Daniel's numbers. 21 of 23, 254, 2 touchdowns, 39 yards rushing, and he ran for 1 as well. Sets an NFL rookie record for completion percentage at 91.3. Afterwards, yeah, that was kind of cool.
It's great, not just for me, but for the whole team. The work that we put in training camp, be able to pay off. Obviously, not just how we didn't want to start the season like that. But we kept working, kept growing, and keep improving each and every week.
Oh, so far, so good. 2-1 through 3. Trent Scott was a guest on Westwood 1. The old tackle eligible, catching a touchdown pass.
Love it, love it, love it.
Kind of neat.
Oh, man, first of all, man, God is good, man. man, that's probably one of the most fun moments of my career so far. So, man, I just want to give a shout-out to my kids, man, Bailey and Tyson. Daddy, love you. Man, it was super fun.
And
man,
I scored a touchdown, yeah.
Was that Kevin Harlan laughing at the yes. God is good thing?
Yes.
Like, first of all, God is like,
first of all, man, God is good, man.
there's no God.
You know, I think my first touchdown pass in my career was to Anthony Munoz on a tackle.
Is that true?
Come on.
That's the first time I've ever heard that. Really?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Against Cleveland.
Come on.
Which would have been what year?
1984.
Okay.
I believe.
Browns, 1984 box score. This will come up on Football Reference. This would be, it's your first one, so I guess I wouldn't be surprised if you remembered. Did you win 20-17?
Yes.
Let's see. Turk Schonert threw the first touchdown pass. Here we go. Goddamn. 1 yard touchdown pass, Boomer Esiason to Anthony Munoz.
Boom, wow. Shakalaka.
To tie the game at 17.
Yeah, we won in overtime.
And then you won in overtime on a Jim Breach 38-yard field goal.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah. I think that was my first one. I think. I know.
It's not. Fleegs is telling me it's not.
Oh, shut up, Fleegs. Stop ruining a good.
Did
I throw one before that to who?
You threw two before that in one game like a month earlier. ML Harris caught the first one, and Collinsworth caught the second.
Okay.
So that was your third career touchdown.
I wanted to be my first.
It's still a hell of a remembrance, though, that you remembered that touchdown pass.
Yeah, because it was in Cleveland, the mistake by the lake, the crappy old stadium, which I love playing at, by the way.
Did you?
Oh, I love that place. I don't know why.
Because those teams stunk, maybe?
No, those teams were good. Okay. That was Bernie Kosar, Marty Schottenheimer.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. At that
Bill
point,
Cowher
they were very good.
Was the DB coach for that team.
Yeah. We got to get through this, guys. Don't watch Boomer in the backfield. That play fake, he's going to get you.
Yeah, that's right. Those teams were very good back then. So, you went in there and you beat them.
We had wars against that team.
Wars.
So the Bengals 0-3, the Commanders 2-1. Meantime, in Buffalo, boy, the Jaguars stink. The Bills just rolled them.
Allen right hash out of the gun. Blitzes on from the Jaguars. Allen can feel it. He looks over the middle. Crossing look. Catch by Shakir. Loses his defender. 15, 10, 5. Bursts into the end zone with Hardhorn for a touchdown.
And again, Westwood won with the call there as well. Bills with a 47-10 win. This game was over at halftime. Josh Allen, 268, 4 touchdowns. He was sacked no times. Hit one time on the night. That was it. And DeMar Hamlin had an interception, so that was kind of cool. Here was Allen. We were locked in.
This could have easily been a game where we had 10 days off and let up on the gas. Didn't sense that from our guys. A lot of urgency throughout the week.
And it certainly showed up last night. What didn't show up was the Jaguars. Here was Doug Peterson. Things not going well at 0-3.
There has to be changes, whether it's play design, personnel, everything's on the table, let's call it, right? And those are all things that we have to, I have to look at.
Yes, they got to figure out.
I'll tell you what, unfortunately, he doesn't sound very convincing, but, Josh Allen is not missing Steph Diggs, at least not yet.
No, and he's got a ton of guys all over the field.
That Keon Coleman only got one catch last night. It was for a touchdown, but he only had one catch.
You know, it reminds me a lot of, outside of Travis Kelce, who's having a slow start, but it reminds me a lot of what's going on with the Kansas City Chiefs right now, which is like speed and a lot of guys and the man, the alpha, just finding whoever's open. And maybe that's the formula, but there's not that one guy that Josh Allen has to get the ball to.
Yeah, and he's not a pain in the ass on the sideline.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
Week 4 opens Thursday night with Cowboys and the Giants. Giants safety Jason Pinnock was asked about the Cowboys' dominance of late.
You've lost 6 in a row and 13 of 14, I think. I mean,
all right, what are we
are
doing?
You guys, how do you change it?
Oh. It's a new day.
It's a new day.
13 of 14. You guys have sucked eggs for many years against the Cowboys. They beat your brains in 13 or 14. How do you turn it around?
Fight that voice, G.
Yes.
You've lost 6 in a row and 13 of 14, I
Oh, man. And Pinnock says one other thing.
With that, like my analogy goes towards like my big brother, because we joke about this all the time. It's like, yeah, he probably beat on me for 12 years, but that 13th, I'm gonna bust your ass.
Wow. So the Giants plan to, remember Jerry Jones says, we're going to beat the Giants' asses. Jason Pinnock saying they're going to beat the Cowboys' asses.
Go get
them,
Jace. Go get them, man.
We shall see. Sunday, the Jets are home for the Broncos. Here is center Joe Tippmann says, we're making progress as a team.
From game to game, I believe, you know, we've done better and better. So really excited for our guys and just kind of the messages we got to keep moving up. And
keep moving up.
Sounds like a coach. Sounds like Sean Payton.
He does. And lots of inspiration from one Aaron Rodgers, as you can imagine.
For him to be able to get there, get out there, move like he's, you know, 38 again, it's a good feeling.
I would certainly think so. Yes.
Why 38?
Right, not 25.
Yeah. Moving like he's 38 again.
Like he's 38.
Well, I would think that he was trying to say pre-Achilles.
Yeah, I guess. I think he...
I don't know.
Anyway, speaking of Jet quarterbacks, a former Jet quarterback is your guy, Sam Darnold, who obviously is in Minnesota. His head coach is Kevin O'Connell, who gives the update on you were concerned about the knee injury.
Yeah.
And I know he played after
Came back, threw a couple more touchdowns, but didn't look good.
So here was O'Connell on Monday.
Sam Darnold update. I think you guys have probably already heard, but really, really good news, positive news, extensive evaluations this morning. Really just revealing a knee bruise in there.
A knee bruise, and hopefully he'll
Darnold
be able to...
Darnold is taking him to the playoffs.
That's hope.
We shall see. Now, interesting and relatable is Bill Belichick on the McAfee show.
Oh, I love
because
this.
Because he was asked about, you know, Darnold's resurgence, playing really well with the Vikings. What's going on there?
I'll say this. Everybody has liked Darnold except the Jets. You know, the people at Carolina that I talked to, they really liked him. He was, you know, at the Rams and not for very long. They liked him. I think they want to re-sign him. You know, he was looking for more of an opportunity than to play behind Stafford. And then, you know, I know that Kevin and some of the coaches in Minnesota, they really like this guy, too. So it seemed like the only people that didn't like Darnold were at the Jets.
He hates the Jets. Hates their guts.
He 100% hates them. Oh, and by the way, man. I mean, to be fair, when he was with the Jets, he was seeing ghosts.
That's true.
I mean, he was a young kid. And, you know, they don't have a lot of, for a lot of these kids, by the way, they don't have a lot of patience.
Yeah, I mean, getting drafted by the Jets is like starting your career with one arm tied behind your back, essentially. I mean, that's what it seems like.
As a quarterback, yes.
You know, and Sam Darnold's still young. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's younger than Joe Burrow.
Think about that.
Which is nuts. So he's, this, I don't know, maybe this is.
And what, this is his fourth team?
Yeah. The Jets, the Panthers, the Niners, the Vikings, and I didn't even realize the Rams, Belichick said.
No, right. I don't know if they brought him in, though. I don't think they actually signed him. I think
so maybe he visited there.
Interested, yeah.
Yeah, so you have that. Next hour with the football, we will hear, we have a little feud going between Michael Parsons and C.J. Gardner-Johnson. We will also have people in the media going after Travis, not going after, but certainly critical of Travis Kelce, and I think understandably
so. People in the
media. So. I mean, we've got a few people in the media. That's right.
Watch out for the people in the media.
So that's coming up next hour. This hour, we wrap up with the baseball, because one division, while we wait for one to be closed out tonight, one closed out last night.
The pitch. Swung on, hit in the air, deep right center field. On the run, Castellanos, he is there. He's got it. And the Phillies close out the National League East. They are the champions of 2024. They come running out of the dugout.
They do. Phillies radio with the call. They beat the Cubs 6-2, wrap up the division. Here was Kyle Schwarber. He homered in this game. Says, winning the NL East, not easy to do, and yet we accomplished it.
With the Braves, some injuries, things like that, but you know, it's still a tough team to play. The Mets, tough team to play. You know, Marlins with the pitching they got. You know, just top to bottom.
A lot of music in that clubhouse as they were celebrating.
I'm right over here. Why can't you see me?
Oh, you know the song?
Yeah, well, I do know that. That's been their thing.
Oh, has it?
Yeah.
No, this was the entire team.
Yes. Yeah, they did this. Yeah, it's been their thing the last couple of years.
All right, so there you go. They're dancing their way into October. So
the Mets, what are they doing? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think so.
I think so. Right?
I think he also has a new version of it if they make the playoffs. Man, I think I saw that.
We're milking this thing, aren't we?
Well, hey, it's working.
Bad Bunny.
With Bad Bunny.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be tremendous.
Meantime, the Mets are now alone for the second wild card spot in the standings because the Giants beat the Diamondbacks.
1-2. Chapman, it's a high drive. Left center field. McCarthy tracking. He'll jump and he can't catch it. It's off the wall. And it's going to start caroming back towards center field. Chapman coming to third. Williams is sending him. Here comes a throw. He slides in safely. Matt Chapman with an inside the park home run.
And that was Giants radio with the call. 6-3 the final. So you've got San Diego, the first wild card. The Mets now a half game clear of Arizona, who's the third wild card, a game and a half ahead of Atlanta. With that, Mets Braves tonight. Luis Severino, Spencer Schwellenbach go tonight for the Braves.
Schwellenbach is somebody to watch. But let me ask you, what are they going to do with this hurricane down there?
Well, it looks like they'll be okay tomorrow, but you're right. Thursday looks like a mess.
They're not okay tomorrow. I
looked at AccuWeather before. It looks like they'll be able to get through tomorrow. Thursday looks horrendous.
All right. Well, I'll read you the Weather Channel app for Wednesday night. All right?
Yeah.
So this is Atlanta Weather Channel app. Wednesday night, thunderstorms, chance of rain, 90%, rainfall near an inch.
All right, so there's a chance. Play through that 10%. Maybe they move tomorrow's game up, and then I don't know what you do about Thursday.
Well, the daytime, thunderstorms, chance of rain, 70, heavy rainfall.
See, that's a real app. I don't know what you got on that Samsung phone app of yours.
Yeah, AccuWeather. That's really crazy.
AccuWeather, yeah.
Who uses AccuWeather?
I don't know.
Thursdays. And you can't get weather.com on a Samsung.
Yeah.
Here we go again. Get the dead horse out and start beating the crap out of it. Yankees home for the Orioles tonight. With a win, they will clinch the AL East. We will have it on the Fan at 7:05. And not at all. And Mitchell Robinson hoping to be ready for December, January.
Still not ready?
No. God. So, and who knows? December, January, maybe it's February. We shall see, which is why, Julius Randle could play some center this year.
But we also got some updated intel on Eddie, who tries to be, there's deception involved with Eddie and his vacations. He doesn't want us to know where he is and what he's doing, and he drops little lies to people. And we heard there was a yarn thing in Ohio, not a yarn thing in Ohio, because he started sharing his location again. And we found out that he is out in Utah.
Yeah. Well, and we think we found out where he is.
Yes.
So we believe he's at the Rocky Mountain Knitters Retreat. So I'm going to read from their website exactly what this is.
Yeah.
And they ask you a question when you get on there. So what's your retreat all about? Are there classes? Are there workshops? Well, no. That's the whole part of this retreat, actually. At the annual Rocky Mountain Knitters Retreat, our itinerary includes the following. Are you ready for the itinerary, Al?
Yeah, yep.
You knit, you relax, you eat, you drink, you knit some more, you relax some more, you have some chocolate, you knit again. Maybe get a massage, maybe do a little hike. This is where Eddie comes in.
Yep.
You then knit, you take a nap, you have a glass of wine, you visit with some other people, rest, knit, regroup, and rejuvenate.
Man, sounds awesome. Really does.
So that's the Rocky Mountain Knitters Retreat. And it looks like it's in Utah.
It is. Well, it is in Utah, and I'm not going to say the exact name of the inn that he's staying in, but we found it, and it's in Loa, Utah. So that's where he's at.
And hopefully, right now, let me see. So it's four. It would be 4 o'clock there right now. Just hope he's snuggling in tight, having a good time, relaxing.
Sipping on a glass of wine.
Well, it's a little early for that, but I think it's more of a relaxing moment for him. Maybe he'll get up and he'll go hike.
Maybe, because that's what he loves to do. He's already getting his retirement schedule in order. He's taking time off during football season. He's going to the Wolf exhibit or whatever in December. He's at the Knitters Retreat now in Utah. I mean, he's got one foot out the door already. You can tell.
It feels that way.
It really does
feel that way.
Because his last day will be the kickoff to summer. Not this year, but next year, correct? Not 2025, but 2026.
I mean, it's a year and a half away.
Yeah, it's a year and a half away.
Well, what are we doing? I mean, why has he got 1 foot out the door already?
Well, as Chuck Knoll said, the second you start thinking about retirement, you're already retired.
Yeah, you're retired.
Yeah, he already is. You can tell.
Right.
You can tell that's where his mentality is at.
We don't want hostages. We want volunteers.
That's right, Coach. Let's go to Conrad in Cherry Hill, our pal. What's going on, Conrad?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
What's up, man?
I wonder. So I'm watching the game yesterday, and I'm wondering how Coach Dable must be feeling right now, watching, you know, this kid light up the Bengals. Because on Sunday booms, there are certain balls that I know. I know my quarterback played better.
Yeah.
Okay, but there are certain balls that he was putting that was really inaccurate that drove me crazy. I'll give you an example that on the top of the fourth quarter, it was 3rd and 8 or 7, I believe. He threw a ball to Slayton where Robinson was wide open in a slot. And the ball he threw to Slayton, Slayton was short of the marker. I don't even know why he went to Slayton. The ball was low. Slayton ended up dropping the ball. That interception that he threw that got called back, thank God, the tight end was wide open. Wide open. That's a ball he's supposed to put right between the numbers like the kid did yesterday with his tight end. And so those are the things I think with Daniel, even though he played better. But if we played a better team, I could see how some of those decisions and certain spots could come back and bite us.
And two of the biggest plays, Conrad, you know, Malik Nabers made two unbelievable catches. So, yeah, this is what I was talking about yesterday. It's it is accuracy. That's one of the problems that Daniel has. When he is on, he can throw it with anybody. But, you know, let's be honest. While he played better, as Conrad said, and he's played better the last two games, he's going to have to play even better if he's going to want to beat the Cowboys. And the accuracy issue is a thing. We all can see it. We all know it. And last night, like I was telling you, on 4th and 4, Jaden Daniels hit Zach Ertz right between the numbers. I mean, you can't recreate that moment in practice.
If the Giants defense plays as well as it did on Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys, then that just helps out Daniel Jones so much more. He doesn't have to carry the team. He doesn't have to have a 30 for 37 day with 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. He's got a superstar, budding superstar at wide receiver. That's what you want. If the Giants are going to win and be a factor at all this season, Daniel Jones just has to be a guy who's not screwing it up. He's not going to be the guy who's going to be winning the games like Josh Allen.
And you know, you don't have to be an ex-football player. You just have to be a fan who has watched football their entire lives like you have. And you know, you watch, you see, and you can tell whether or not a guy has the it factor at the position. And Jaden Daniels showed you that he has every aspect of the position down. And I don't even know if he really truly knows what he's doing yet.
No, right, which is scary.
That's a scary thing.
Right.
The fact that he stood in there on that touchdown pass and took one right to the chops as he was throwing it, and it was right on the money to Terry McLaurin. Man, that's all I need to see.
Yeah, and he wasn't doing that the first couple of weeks, and now he's doing that. So he's just getting better and better and better.